You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy everyone and welcome to the seventh episode of the ESO 2015 Dragon Con Report. The big event is now less than 40 days away.
Oh God.
Awesome.
That's insanity. You need to, someone needs to build me a TARDIS right now. It's cursed.
Yep.
This is the penultimate of ESO's monthly specials, counting down to the 2015 show. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of our frantic crew. As we mentioned many times, it's never too soon to prepare, and guess what? It's past that point now. It's almost
you
like
think?
If you're
really?
If you're not prepared now, then just forget it. starting, of course, with Director Mike Fair.
You know, like one of those slurpy headaches you get? You just gave me one, man. You really just did. It's like, feels like somebody put an ice pick right between my eyes.
Oh, there
40 days till Dragon Con? Yes. God, yeah. I've got to start paying these credit cards off so I can afford a hotel.
Exactly 36 days as we sit here.
Oh, God.
Yep. Not that I'm down.
Quit it.
And that person counting, or not counting, rather, is Darren Noel again joining us. Thank you, Darren.
Well, he is the number cruncher on the show, technically.
I am. It's frightening. I'm in charge of math. It's scary. We're all in trouble. Howdy, everybody. What's up?
And we also have with us Mary Lou Who. Welcome back, Mary.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, as always.
How is the costume coming?
You know what? It is okay.
Oh, good.
You know what?
But that actually sounds better than it did sort of last month.
Well, I have a better idea of what I'm doing now. I'm not making as many new costumes, so the load is a bit more manageable than usual at this time. But, you know, I got my work cut out for me.
Awesome. This is a little bit different than the other shows we've been doing this year. So we tried to bring you some new experiences for us and for those people who've been listening to us for a while. We've actually got interviews with four track directors that we've never spoken to before. So never had these track directors on either Earth Station 1 or the Earth Station 1 Dragon Con Report. So very excited to be talking to Lee Cox from the Costume Track, Kira Lang from the Silk Road Track, Shannon Chestnut from the Apocalypse Rising Track, and Sue Phillips from the Science Fiction Literature Track. So very excited to talk to those four individuals. I've dipped my toe into a few of those tracks over the years, but some of them I've never had any experience with whatsoever. The Silk Road I'm really interested in because I don't think I've ever – I didn't even know that was a thing. So it would be really interesting to see what goes on there. So it just goes to show you. I mean, you go there – I've been going to Dragon Con for over 20 years, and I just can't even imagine – that I haven't experienced almost half of it, seems like, sometimes. Mm. So, anyway, so looking forward to talking to them. But unfortunately, since we are talking to them, we won't have time for the regular crew to join us. But they will be back next month in full force with some of the things that they're looking forward to the most this year. So,
okay, Darren, that means we're off tonight. See you, guys. Yeah, see you, Mike. Sure. You're on your own.
No.
I've got stuff to do, dude.
Okay,
there
talk to you later.
There's a sea of fabric in my house right now. I have to tame it.
Come on, Mary. We're out of here. He said we're off tonight.
Uh-huh. I'm going to make some pie and then start sewing, okay? This will not end well if you're asking.
Don't make me do this show without you, man.
Well, you said the regulars are off tonight. Come on.
Well, when I said off, I didn't mean like, you know, I meant off. They're just kind of off. Anyway, this Earth Station 1 special report is sponsored by the ESO Amazon eStore, so where you can find all sorts of cool geeky merchandise. If you're ordering some swag from Amazon, help us out by going through our link on our website page. It's right there at the top. It doesn't cost you any more, and it helps us out a whole lot. If you want to leave feedback or comment on the show, please call our ESO feedback line at 404-963-9057. Or feel free to email us at esopodcast@gmail.com. And in fact, some of the recommendations for track directors that we got were from people who sent us feedback. So thank you guys for that. We do listen. We do read. So please keep them coming. So now we're going to do some news and notes real quick. The first thing I wanted to mention is going over important dates. I think the most important date is that Dragon Con is about 30-some days away. So that's a pretty big one. Most of the other dates, volunteer meetings and all that, of sort of guest applications and all that, that's pretty much done. August 14th is the date for media access application to close. So if you do want to cover this for a media outlet and, you know, blogging, podcasting, they have to vet you. So make sure you get your applications in as soon as possible to make sure to see if you're covered to be granted a media access pass. Also, August 15th is the final day of the advanced membership rate of $130. So it's gone up quite a bit over the year, as you can tell. So if you want to just save as much as you can or as little as you can at this point, you want to get your membership passes by August 15th. And then you'll have to get them at the door. And I think single tickets, if I'm not mistaken, single passes are available now for Saturday. Is that, do you guys, have you heard that or not?
I have not.
Okay. Not heard that.
I think they are now. So I think you can actually go to the site. But check it out at dragoncon.org. And they have all the information there on memberships that you can get now. So those are the dates. Also want to point out that the app is rumbling out there, the DragonCon app. The 2014 one got an update suddenly earlier this week across the platforms. So my guess is that instead of having to download a completely new app this year, that they are actually updating the last one so that we won't have to download a new app. I think if you have all your settings, you won't lose all your settings from the 2014 app. You'll have the same settings. It'll just be a new information on it. So that's actually pretty cool. I think this is the first time we've actually been able to use the same app for the following year. So I hope that continues. But that's just a guess because, like I said, it did get updated with some information. I have seen some screens that do say upcoming Dragon Con 2015 on it. I definitely encourage people to download the app. If for no other reason, sometimes, you know, you can't use the app that well during the convention because of usage issues. But the app is important if you're going to attending panels and supporting panels and letting DragonCon know how you feel about each event that you attend. One of the things that we've talked to in the interviews and off air with a lot of track directors, a lot of volunteers, is that a lot of decisions that they made about their tracks, about panels, were due to the feedback they got on the app last year. So definitely you keep using that. Keep using that. Make your voice heard. Download the app. And then once you attend a panel, even if it's like a few weeks afterwards, rate it and put comments on there because they do get read.
Exactly. Despite all that, they even did invite ESO back. So it's perfect.
I know, right? How did that happen? And speaking of which, a little bit of announcement on our own for self-serving for ESO. We've actually got something that we're making a date or it's making its debut at Dragon Con, which is a new project that we've worked on. It's called the ESO. It's an anthology of short stories, and it's to benefit the Earth Station One network. We asked a lot of hosts, that are members of the Earth Station One network. A lot of them are writers. Some of them are very accomplished and award-winning writers. And we asked them if the two participate in this project. And we got five people that said yes, and couldn't be happier. I'm putting the book together this month, and it'll make its debut at Dragon Con. It'll be available for sale at my table in the comic and pop artist alley. We also have an official signing time so that you can meet all the people that were involved with writing the stories. And I can tell you right now that the five stories are written by Dr. Scott Vigay, who is a guest at Dragon Con this year, Van Allen Plexico, the award-winning Van Allen Plexico, who again is a guest this year, the award-winning Bobby Nash, again, attending professional this year. Joe Crow, who runs the American Classics Sci-Fi track, and myself, who is also a guest this year, and with an introduction by director Mike Faber, so who's also a guest this year. So it's very much a great thing that we wanted to do for Dragon Con, because Dragon Con means so much to us, because we love attending. We love being a guest there. So we wanted to put this project together to debut at Dragon Con. And I've read the stories. I'm actually putting, like I said, putting the book together now. I couldn't be happier. It's a fun take. The theme of everybody's story is basically, it's called Tales of the Station, and just some different interpretations of the fun folks here at Earth Station One in the fictional universe we have set up, and that our station that revolves around this planet. So it's very fun. I can't wait to people check it out. Oh, and did I mention one of the best parts is it features a cover by the award-winning Mark Maddox. So it's really fun, been a fun project to put together, and I can't wait till everybody checks it out at Dragon Con. So with that being said, there are some other cool people coming to Dragon Con. So without further ado, Mike and Mary.
Well, let's start off with Richard Hatch. Richard Hatch is once again returning to Dragon Con. Richard is, of course, is known as, you know, Captain Apollo from Battlestar Galactica, the original. And he was also...
He's in both.
Yeah, that's true. He was on both. Yep. And he was also Streets of San Francisco.
Yep. He took over for...
Michael Douglas.
Hank Pym. Douglas.
Exactly.
Yeah, Hank Pym.
Hank Pym. So he will be back at Dragon Con this year. It should be actually kind of fun to see him.
Awesome. Larry Elmore is one of the world's leading fantasy artists. His works have graced the covers of National Lampoon, Heavy Metal, and Dragon Magazine, among others. He's best known for his authors for the original Dragonlance novels.
Kristen Bauer is best known as the vampire Pamela Swanford, the Buffont, on HBO's True Blood, and the sorceress Maleficent on ABC's Once Upon a Time.
Stephanie Leonidas is currently playing the role of Irisa in the sci-fi hit Defiance.
Dino Andrade is the voice actor, is best known as the Scarecrow from Batman Arkham Asylum, and the voice of Pop of the Rice Krispie Snack, Snap, Crackle, and Spop.
Wow, that's awesome. That's some range he's got there.
Oh, very much so.
Rob Paulsen is one of the top voice actors in cartoon acting and an Emmy Award and Annie Award winner. He is also best known as Yakko from The Animaniacs, Pinky from Pinky and the Brain, Raphael from the original TMNT series, and Donatello on the new TMNT series, as well as hundreds of other characters.
We are so getting him on the podcast this year.
Yes!
Yay!
Yes!
United
States,
Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru.
Oh, damn straight. And if you know, I want him being Pinky on the podcast. That's all I have to say. And if they announce that Louis LaMarche is coming too, I will be in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, so, all right, Tom Mission is an English filmmaker best known for his role as Ichabod Crane on the current show Sleepy Hollow.
Doc Hammer writes voices and does other crap for the Venture Brothers. It's a show you can watch on cable TV.
Go Team Venture!
Pam Mariko performs for film, television, and theater. She's the principal puppeteer for Sesame Street. She is the director for theater, television, and film, the artistic director of the National Puppetry Conference at the O'Neill, and the secrecy of the board of the Jim Henson Foundation.
Aaron Sagers is a TV personality and professional nerd who's hosted for Travel Channel, Sci-Fi, HBO, Universal Home Entertainment, and for the biggest names at any fan convention, including Stan Lee, David Tennant, Chris Hemsworth, and more. He serves as editor art-at-large for NBC Universal's Blaster.com.
Cheryl Henson serves on the board of directors for the Jim Henson Company. She is also the president of the Jim Henson Foundation.
Karen Falk is the Jim Henson Company's archivist. She is also the author of Imagination Illustrated.
The Ken Spivey Band's coming back. They're fun, basically, Doctor Who geek rock band. And, you know, they hang out at the Brit Tracks. You know, check them out.
Jim Steranko is an American graphic artist, comic book writer, artist, historian, magician, publisher, and film production illustrator.
Awesome. Jesse Rath is currently on the sci-fi series Defiance, playing the role of Alec Tarr.
Debbie McClellan is the vice president of the Muppet Studio, where she oversees production, talent relations, and serves as creative lead for the Muppet brand at the Walt Disney Company.
Meredith Rose is staff attorney at Public Knowledge, where she focuses on copyright and telecommunication matters. She also works on IP and tech issues at the FCC Transatlantic Consumer Dialogue and Knowledge Ecology International. When not lawyering, she's an avid gamer and fan nerd.
It's actually lawyering.
Lawyering?
I'm just messing with you, bro.
Oh, screw off. Screw off. Where's that disconnect for Mary?
Nice.
Hey, you wanted me to be energetic, and this is what you get, okay?
Damn it.
Leslie Carrera Rudolph, a multifaceted entertainer, writer, artist, voiced actress, songwriter, and puppeteer, best known for performing Abby Cadabby. Oh, crap. I don't know this kid stuff.
Abby
Cadabby.
Abby Cadabby. Yeah.
On Sesame Street, for which she received 5 Emmy nominations. Leslie spreads joy with her live shows, workshops, and outreach, using her beloved characters Lolly, Lard Pop, and Granny Dot.
James Leary's television credits include a 2-year stint as Clem, the loose-skinned demon on the critically acclaimed Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Starring James turned the original 5-line part at the beginning of season 6 into a regular recurring role, and was soon a fan favorite.
That guy's awesome.
He is awesome. Clem is awesome.
Anna Silk currently stars as the lead character Bo on the Sci-Fi Showcase hit series Lost Girl.
Carrie S. Means is a voiceover artist that's been working for the Cartoon Network Adult Swim for the past 15 years as the voice of Frylock in the show Aqua Teen Hunger Force, a.k.a. Aqua TV show. Okay.
Peter Mayhew plays Chewbacca in the original Star Wars trilogy and most recently in Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
John Wesley Shipp is coming to Dragon Con.
He's going to be so fast you won't be able to see him.
Exactly. Another one from The Flash. How about that? John Wesley Shipp played the title role of Barry Allen, The Flash, in the 1990-1991 series and now could be seen in the CW's The Flash playing Barry Allen's father, Henry Allen. Sorry.
Louis John Robinson. During a 35-year career in the BBC, Louis began as a film editor and ended as a producer and scriptwriter and an on-air performer in local radio and Radio 4.
Alex Kingston is coming to Dragon Con. That's right, sweeties. River Song herself is coming.
Got the vapors.
Exactly. What hasn't she done? She's been on Arrow. She's been on ER, Doctor Who, NCIS. You know, everything. ER. Yeah, ER.
I just want people to imagine John Barrowman and Alex Kingston crashing a party at Dragon Con. That's all you need, sweetie. You're done, darling.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And sickening.
Very awesome. And they also announced today, actually, that Michelle Nichols is coming to be the Grand Marshal of the Dragon Con Parade.
Yay, ooh, Lieutenant Uhura!
Yes, we are so excited. You know, it was touch and go for her for a bit.
And well, like I said, she did give us a scare. So yeah. It's nice that she's doing well. And yes, she will be, I'm sure, get much love at and during the parade and all weekend.
And like we said last time, this is just a fraction of who we have coming to Dragon Con this year. If we've missed anyone the last month, go to dragoncon.org and look under guests. There are hundreds and hundreds of people they have announced just over the last month. And yeah. I don't think they're done yet.
No. No, they're not. And two, I wanted to point out that I don't know if they were actually on the website guest list per se, but I don't think we covered this last time, but they Dragon Con has announced their official 2015 Literary and Artist Guest of Honor. The Literary Guest of Honor this year goes to Peter F. Hamilton, and the artist is, pardon me if I'm butchering this, Cirillo Cabral. Hamilton is best known for writing space operas, romantic and often melodramatic adventures. Cabral has done many, many book covers for heavy metal, some George Lucas book covers, a lot of album covers for Steve Vai. His artwork can also be found on Magic the Gathering cards. He's been everywhere. So they will do I think they do a special banquet, right? The awards banquet where they honor those individuals. So congratulations to both of them. And the banquet's not the only party by far at Dragon Con. So how was that for a segue there, Darren?
That was a nice segue there, Mike. I love when you segue to me.
Well, what is the status on the parties that are going on?
Oh, my God. If there's a moment at Dragon Con, there's a party going on. So there's your status. Obviously, things are still working their ways out, but I pulled from last year's Daily Dragon, along with a few things that I know are going on, a few of the hot, hot, hot parties. And I'm going to go down the list here real quick. Y'all, Mary, Mike, interject as you see fit. Wednesday is the new Thursday
party. I think it's
important
to just pause there for a second.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday is a new Thursday.
Wednesday is the new Thursday party or the Welcome Home Wednesday party. 8 p.m. Pulse Bar at the Marriott. There you go. That starts it.
So it begins.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to actually start on Sunday or something.
The Sunday before.
Probably. I've been trying to convince people to come down on Tuesday with me, but I couldn't get anyone to do it.
Aw.
It's just going to be Mary.
I tried.
At the Pulse Bar by herself.
By herself.
Whatever, why not? Like, I'm already taking Wednesday off work. Just leave Tuesday night, be there, and get up Wednesday.
I seriously doubt you'll be alone.
You won't be alone. There's no way.
Oh, I'm not doing it. We didn't get the room for that night, unfortunately. Uh-huh. I couldn't do it myself.
Okay. Well, obviously on Thursday we have registration, and of course there's a party in line during registration always. There's the newbies meet and greets, the walking tours. Please check the DragonCon newbies Facebook group for info about that. If you're new to Dragon Con, cannot stress the importance of getting to know the lay of the land of Dragon Con and getting to know some people right off the bat, because it can totally make your con. The Ether Lounge featuring friend of the show, DJ Dr. Q. That will be, we believe, now these places were from last year, but the Alternate History Tract tends to stay in the West End, so I'm going to guess that this is going to be around the same time, 8:30 in the Augusta Ballroom in the West End. Again, check Daily Dragon for updates. This is all from 2014. Friday, well, here we go. There's the Monster Mashup. Last year it was the Intergalactic Military Ball, which I heard everyone had a fun time at. This year it's going to be the Monster Mash. So I guess we're taking a little horror thing, and it benefits the Dragon Con charity, the Lymphoma. I forget the exact name of it, but the one that it's going to benefit. The Tolkien Trek will have their evening at Bree. That's traditionally on Friday. So if you feel like going down to the Shire and having a pint, feel free. Let's see here. Let's move on. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Saturday. Woohoo. Scrolling. The Avengers Ball. Saturday, 10 p.m. At the West. Oh, sorry. Is that Friday? This is Friday, isn't it? No, it's Saturday. It says Saturday. Okay. The Avengers Ball. There's the Heroes and Villains Ball. There's the Last Party at Alderaan Ball. There is the Spectrum Party, which is near and dear to my heart. It's the LGBTIQA party for all of us on a different track of our sexuality party. It's really fabulous. And Sunday, there are all kinds of fun things going on. Most notable is the Yule Ball, which is in the Young Adult Lit track, which is a Harry Potter-themed event. And of course, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, there will be concerts going on. And then usually around 3 a.m., there will be a rave to go until 7-ish a.m. in the Marriott. Did I miss anything, guys? I know I missed a lot, but those are the highlights.
Oh, that's the highlight. And, of course, there is a dedicated DragonCon Parties Facebook page, too, for you to check out. And there's definitely – there's all different types of parties. There's meet and greets, and there's, you know, tons and tons of just – everywhere you look, there's going to be a party no matter what you're into.
Parties in hallways.
Oh, there will be. There totally will be.
You can't find a party at DragonCon.
There's parties in bathroom stalls.
Hey, hey, hey.
You're doing it wrong.
Those charges were never filed. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, if you are into the party scene and you just want to dance and get your groove on, please do so. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to get out there and meet some people and have a good time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
And Mike, I believe we have some late-breaking guest news.
Why, yes, we do.
Oh.
Yes, we do. Some right out of DragonCon as we just –
Are you going to squee? Are Mary and I going to squee?
I squeed, but, you know, you guys might not. Okay. Steve Whitmire is coming to DragonCon. For those who don't know who Steve Whitmire is, he is the voice of Kermit the Frog.
Oh. Yay!
Yay! So
we've got Kermit and Big Bird.
Well, I guess they're doing a really big push for the new Muppets TV show coming on.
Yeah, think?
I think so. I'm sensing a lot of Jim Henson Foundation guests coming, so yeah, I think so.
Well,
that and the fact, too, that, I mean, I think the puppetry track has just been, it's not even 5 years old.
No,
and it's already become one of the biggest events, one of the biggest attractions at DragonCon. Plus, you've got everything that's going on with the puppetry museum, opening up the new center later this year. Very exciting time to be into puppets, especially in the Atlanta area.
Oh, very much so. And like we said, folks, probably even by the time this episode goes live, there's going to be more announcements.
Oh,
and they're starting to get big. You know, they, like we said, it was Michelle. They announced earlier today. Now they announced Steve. Yesterday they announced Alex Kingston. And so I just get a feeling we're going to be getting bigger and bigger over the next week or two.
It's possible.
And if we were getting some people from The Flash –
yeah, that's
just
what
saying.
I'm just thinking that Grant is going to show up.
I'm waiting for Grant Gustin's name to drop.
Yeah, I'm shocked they haven't done it yet. But then, as Mike said earlier, he'll just run in, you know?
Yeah, he'll run in and run out.
Exactly.
Mary's going to get her track shoes on.
Hey, well, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Well, I guess on a related note, I guess I could report that Eliza Dushku has reported that she will not be able to attend DragonCon.
So, Mike, you're safe.
No.
You're safe, Mike.
Actually, she did that.
I am no longer 5x5.
I think she's got her brother's wedding or some silly thing to
well,
go to.
Well, family's important.
So it was interesting that she made that announcement right about the same time that Alex Kingston said she was coming. So I don't know if there's any relation there, but I'm happy. So in any case, yes, keep abreast of all the information that's coming up with guests and everything else at the – I think the best place to go is the Facebook page. They're really good about updating that almost on an hourly basis when stuff is happening. So I definitely recommend checking that out. So, but now it's time to check out some tracks that we have not really checked out before. So very interested to learn about these tracks, and we're going to start with the costume track. And joining us now for the first time on the Earth Station 1 station here is Lee Cox, the director of the costuming track at DragonCon. Welcome to the station, Lee.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So how long have you been associated with DragonCon?
Officially associated with DragonCon since 2004.
Okay. Were you unofficial before that? Were you going to the convention before then, or?
I was going to the convention for about 6 or 7 years before then.
Okay, so you are an old veteran of DragonCon.
Yeah, for lack of a better word, absolutely.
Mike, you know it's not good to call people old on the show.
Yeah, I know, and I'm right there with you. So
it's very appropriate, however.
Yeah, well, we all know that Dragon Con can certainly put years on you. So how did you decide to get involved with an actual track?
Well, originally, a lady friend of mine was involved with registration, and she tried to talk me into joining as a volunteer because she wanted someone on registration that she knew. And of course, I went to one of the meetings, and the costuming track director at the time was seeking help, and that appealed to me more than working registration. So I did sign up to start volunteering for Dragon Con, but my friend did not exactly get what she wanted. And that was in 2004, and then I was the costume track director in 2010.
Wow, congratulations on that. And this is now costuming, costumes, huge part of Dragon Con. Has been for a long time. How long has I don't remember there particularly being, has there always been a track devoted to costuming?
Actually, the costuming track started in 2003. They realized that costuming was so central to what Dragon Con represents, and that everyone was really big on costuming. And there seemed to be a little debate about, okay, do we want to keep it in the separate genre tracks? Because, you know, some people are fans of Harry Potter, others are bigger fans of like Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever. And then they realized that there was a huge need for an actual genre-neutral costuming track that actually goes into a little more detail about how to create some of these looks, not just specifically to the individual genres. So we're actually genre-neutral. We, as I tend to describe it, we will show you how to make a cape, and then whether or not you turn that into a superhero or something for another genre, that's entirely up to you.
Absolutely. I know that a lot of the track directors that we've talked to in the past and the experience that I've had with them, a lot of the tracks have their own sort of like, you know, the Star Wars one will do a costume contest and all that kind of mm-hmm. thing. Do you actually do, is it just like workshops and instructional, or do you guys do contests and parties and stuff?
We do both. Absolutely. We call ourselves the DIY of Dragon Con because most of our events and panels are definitely like classroom style. We have a good bit of hands-on instruction. The panelists are not afraid to hand things out, let you get your hands on it, see what it feels like, see what the final product looks like once you're done with it, and teach you exactly how you can create these different looks that you're going for. Unfortunately, the panels are 1 hour long, just the same as any other track. So sometimes it's a little difficult to get all of the information packed into 1 hour, but they do a pretty good job of getting as much of it out there as possible. But we also have a few contests as well. We have a craftsmanship contest on Friday night. It's specifically geared toward the creators of the costumes, not just the wearers, but specifically the creators. And our judges go over the costume with a fine-tooth comb, look at the documentation and everything, and decide the best costume constructionally. And then on Sunday, we have a makeup makeover challenge because makeup and props is part of the costuming track. The makeup makeover challenge is kind of like, if you've ever seen Face Off on the Sci-Fi Channel, it's kind of like that, but on speed, because these contestants have 50 minutes to complete a look, not 3 days like you get on the Face Off. But that's interesting and fun and always a nice little challenge. And this year, we're not hosting it, but we are heavily involved in a new contest called the Chosen. It's spelled like Chosen, but it's actually Japanese for challenge. And it's a cosplay contest being held at the Georgia Aquarium on Saturday night. We're very excited about that.
Wow, very cool. Is that your first foray over there?
It is, absolutely. Dragon Con has had a nice little relationship with the Georgia Aquarium for several years now, and the aquarium decided they wanted to bring a little bit more of the Dragon Con experience into their doors. And what better way to do it than to have a costuming contest? And with cosplay being super huge right now, a little bit of the craftsmanship of costuming mixed in with a little bit of the showmanship, we could not resist making our first official cosplay contest. I think it's our first official. The animation track, I believe, has had some cosplay contests in the past, so I might want to back up a little bit before I say our first official. But it's the first official DragonCon wide contest being held at the Georgia Aquarium, and it's the first costuming event the Georgia Aquarium's ever had, so it's going to be very exciting.
That sounds huge. How is that different than say like what goes on with the like the masquerade?
Okay. Now we don't do the masquerade. That's handled by one of our friends that handles some of the main programming. But
right.
The difference that I from what I can tell you is the masquerade focuses on presentation. A lot of folks are allowed to dress up, come in, do a presentation. Doesn't really matter if they made the costume or if the costume was given to them or purchased. The focus is on the presentation, and it's all about the fun and the comedy, and that's very much so needed. But you cross that with our Friday night costuming contest that focuses on the costume and the craftsmanship and that
Excellent.
Kind of thing. You mesh those two together, and you have the world of cosplay.
Nice. That's excellent. So yeah, you are really focused more on actual creating costumes, unique costumes, and also like if someone wants a character that they like a lot, you guys can help mm-hmm. them through that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have quite a few experts that talk about recreation, whether it's a period piece or if it's something straight out of a movie or a TV show. And there's also entire groups that are dedicated to research on particular types of costume and getting them studio ready and studio quality exactly as it appeared in the movie. Once again, if it gets too far down the rabbit hole with a specific genre, we try to refer them to that particular track because they have their own group of individuals that can go into much more detail about that specific genre. But as far as if you just want to know how to add some electronics to your costume, or if you would like to know more about dying and distressing, regardless of what that looks like, whether you're looking at a post-apocalyptic or zombie or, you know, superheroes that have been battle-worn, we have panels on that. We do panels on hair, we do panels on leather crafting, patterning, you name it, we've got it.
Awesome. Can you talk already about some of the people that you've got joining you for panels?
Actually, I can.
Woohoo!
So what would you like to know? We probably some of our bigger names are with Face Off. We do have several folks from Face Off coming.
Oh, very nice.
I have, let me look at this, make sure I don't miss anyone because it has been a rather long week and I just want to make sure that I've got all my ducks in a row.
Absolutely.
So I can tell you that RJ Hattie is coming. Roy Woolley is coming. I have Frank Ippolito. Let's see who else. Rachel Wagner, Stella Sensel. And I had that in front of me just a moment ago. There's one more guy coming. All former contestants of Face Off. And several of them are going to be emceeing the Makeup Makeover Challenge. So no pressure there on our contestants.
but at least, you know, they're actually people with a lot of experience there. So that's really
awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then probably, one of the nicest guys I know that's coming all the way from London is Robert Alsop. I definitely want to get his name out there.
Sure.
He did the reimagining of the armament and everything for the new Judge Dredd movies.
Oh, cool.
With Keith Urban, he was the mastermind behind that. he created props for the X-Men movie series. Just a brilliant, brilliant man. Doctor Who, he's had his hands in that. Absolutely brilliant. Very down to earth. You can ask him anything and he'll tell you exactly how he made it or how to make your own if you have variances that you want to do. Just brilliant man. And he is going to be one of our judges for the Friday night costuming contest.
Gotcha. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just going to mention that we're also bringing in Sherilyn Lambeth, who has done costuming for the Jim Henson Corporation. She also does a lot of puppetry, so you'll probably see her on the puppetry track a good bit.
Sure.
But she is rooted in costuming, and she's done a lot for the television and stage industry. So she's going to be a wonderful addition to our lineup as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because my next question was going to be, if you're pulling people who are doing, you know, actual wardrobe costuming for active television and movies right now, especially with, you know, all the production that's going on in the Atlanta area.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I mentioned earlier that we're doing a distressing panel. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people on that panel that are actually currently active in the new Avengers movie that's being filmed right here in Atlanta.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was going to be a great panel to sit on. We're going to be busting out the walls for that one.
So if you're interested in costuming and cosplay, going to conventions and creating that, that's one thing. But if you're also seriously interested in what goes into costuming for active productions, your track is the place to be. That's really cool.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've covered electronics and robotics and costuming before. Not this year. We do have an electronics and costuming panel, but it's more for beginners. And we also have a low-tech panel this year for folks that want to learn how to get gears and things on their costume, but not, you know, electronic savvy. And then we have various makeup panels, whether you're interested in just cosplay quality. Well, not just cosplay quality. These cosplay folks are really serious about their makeup. But there is a difference between the cosplay quality makeup and makeup that's seen in film. Usually cosplayers are in their makeup for several hours sweating, and it's 360 degrees. You can actually get away with just one side of an actor's face for a few minutes with a makeup job in the film industry. And then they can always stop frame and do touch-ups, whereas cosplayers, it may not be as elaborate as what you see on the film, but it's longer lasting typically. So it's kind of interesting to see the different techniques that are used for each one of those types of makeup jobs, just so that they can each get the type of effect that they're going for.
Now, obviously being a track director, a lot of work, a lot of stuff that you have to do. Do you get a chance also to take part in costuming? Do you have your own costumes that you create for Dragon Con?
Oh boy, you had to go there. in the past, honestly, the last time I've costumed at Dragon Con was in 2009, simply because Dragon Con is not the only con that I'm physically involved with. So I started finding myself unable to get to some of my projects that are specifically for the con, for other projects that I have going on, and planning the con too. Well, this year I'm flipping that back on its ear, and I'm actually going to appear in several costumes this year. So
I'm very excited
about that. Yeah.
Are they ones that you can reveal, or is it, oh, you got to wait and see?
I can reveal one simply because we had a cosplay photo shoot around it back in March, and a lot of people have already seen it. If you've seen my Facebook page, there are several pictures of me in a Mad Max style post-apocalyptic costume. I will be bringing that to Dragon Con.
Wow. And I got a feeling that's going to be very popular this year.
Oh, I hope so.
I got a feeling.
Otherwise,
we're gonna see,
I will be feeling very awkward.
I got a feeling we're going to see a lot of those bald boys running around this year.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, lots of those. Yeah,
and it's very cool.
I'm already seeing where a lot of costumers are starting to post progress pictures of their costumes, and yeah, I've seen quite a bit of Mad Max going on, so I'm excited.
That's awesome. It's been a while since we've had a lot of post-apocalyptic stuff at Dragon Con. It's about time that theme kind of came back, so I'm looking forward to that.
Exactly. Actually. Yeah, for the last several years, if you said post-apocalyptic, everyone's brain automatically went to zombies.
Yep, absolutely.
So now they're getting to see that post-apocalyptic just doesn't necessarily mean just zombies. There's other things out there as well, and I'm very excited about that. Not that there's anything wrong with zombies. I like zombies.
Nope. Nope. In fact, we're talking to the Apocalypse Rising people a little bit later on in the show. So.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Tell them I said hi.
Absolutely. So where is your track located?
We're in the Marriott, rooms M103 through 105. We've knocked down the air walls, turned it into one giant room. Come on in. We'll have a good time.
Awesome. Awesome. And before the convention, where can people find you guys online?
You can find us on Facebook at DragonCon Costuming Track. Or it may be, let me double check that just to make sure. I get a little ahead of myself sometimes when I've had very little sleep.
It's actually, yes, Facebook Costuming
Track. Listed as DC, yeah, on Facebook it's listed as DC Costuming Track, or no, Dragon Con Costuming Track. Yep, it is. It's Dragon Con Costuming Track, pretty easy to find. Or you could just simply email us at costuming@dragoncon.org.
Okay, we'll have those links up in our show notes and on our website when the show is released so that people can find you and check you out before the convention. So anything else you need to let us know about your track this year?
If I could mention one other thing, I would really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We are, as you know, Dragon Con has a charity of choice each year. This year is the Lymphoma Research Foundation. And we are doing a cosplay charity auction as part of the fundraising events for that particular organization. It's actually kind of near and dear to our hearts this year because we've had a few family members within the Dragon Con family that have been affected by cancer. So we're all doing our part to try to raise as many funds as possible for this wonderful organization, and ours is this charity auction where basically people can donate their new or gently used costumes. We can't take used makeup or wigs, but we can take anything that is clean and in great shape that folks maybe are no longer interested in that genre, or they've gained weight or lost weight or whatever the case may be. Just made a new helmet and discovered they made it a size too small, whatever that might be. We will be happy to take that donation, give you a receipt that you can write off of your taxes, and someone out there will be more than happy to give that item a new home, get it out on the con floor so that it can still be seen as opposed to being packed away in the back of a closet or in a basement somewhere, and raise funds for charity at the same time. So it's a triple win situation, and we're very proud of this particular event. So if anyone is interested in donating to that, please contact us. Again, that's costuming@dragoncon.org.
That's very cool. It's a great idea. So good for you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
And well, very cool. We're definitely looking forward to the weekend and checking out the costuming track. I wish you well on Labor Day weekend at Dragon Con, and as many people as they can, just stop by your room and check out the track.
Thank you.
And now joining us, first time director on the station, we have with us Kira Lang, the director of the Silk Road. Welcome to Earth Station One.
Well, thanks for having me.
So how long have you been associated with Dragon Con? How long have you been going? I don't know if you were going before you were associated with the track, but what's your history with Dragon Con?
Yeah, I
went to Dragon Con years ago. My first convention was World Con, and a friend of mine, because we were both into science fiction books, we didn't know there was such a thing as con, found out about it and went to the World Con in New Orleans. And then I found out there was one in Atlanta and started going and just was totally geeking out the whole time. It was really awesome.
About what year was that?
I really have no idea. I didn't. I took a few years off.
Sure.
Probably, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Okay.
I stopped going for a couple of years, and then my younger brother wanted to go, and I thought, oh, well, I need to go with him. And so I started going again and have been going ever since. It's been
now,
at
how
least
did you,
10 years.
How did you get associated with the Silk Road track?
The original director of the Silk Road track was, I was very excited to see that there was one. And I offered to help out with doing an exposition show. So I knew a lot of belly dancers, and a friend of mine did Chinese dance. She was with the Atlanta Chinese Dance Company. And I said, oh, it would be really awesome if we had some of the congoers who I know, you know, are coming to Dragon Con anyway, to have a show and let them show their talent. And so that was 7 years ago, I think it started. And then a few years ago, they were looking for a new track director, and I offered. It was kind of like a month before the convention when I found out about it.
Wow.
And that was in 2011. And they already had some guests and things, so they already had a few things in place, and so we threw it together. I was actually on a week-long camping trip when I found out about it, so we threw it all together at the last minute, and it turned out great. It was a lot of fun. And again, you know, my connections within the community of dancers and musicians and, you know, things like that just made it really super simple and really a lot of fun.
So tell us what goes on. What is the theme of the Silk Road?
The Silk Road is pretty much anything related to the Silk Road from the Middle East to the Far East that isn't covered by anime. We do have a little bit of crossover, like we have some Godzilla crossover and things like that, but we try to cover some history and some modern stuff and some future stuff if we can fit it in there. But the Silk Road is really, really huge, so we have a lot of things going on, like origami, again, Godzilla. We have someone this year who's going to do an Iron Chef retrospective. He did it a couple years ago.
That sounds fun.
Really fun. It was really fun. He had a lot of clips, some from Japan that weren't shown on the Food Network here in the States. And, you know, just we have kawaii culture from Japan, the cuteness culture, K-pop, martial artists, ton of stuff. Kung Fu.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a weekend's worth right there.
Yeah, I feel like it.
What do you got going on this year in particular? I assume that you have. Do you have a pretty much a schedule? I know things can change still, but some guests
schedule,
and all that.
We have a schedule, but it's under review, so things could change at the last minute, especially if a really big guest comes. You know,
sure,
you got to fit them in there somewhere. But we have some things that we have pretty consistently, like the Asian ball jointed dolls, which a lot of people don't know about.
What is that?
They're completely customizable dolls that people will, you can get their skin in blue and you can change their hair and you can take the strings out of the inside of them and change their arms and legs into hoods. I mean, they're really awesome the way that people dress them up to look like themselves, or Lolitas will have matching outfits that match their dolls. And the lady, Tina Black, who runs it, is really awesome and fun. Her panels are always fun. And then, of course, we have the Silk Road Expo, and we have Phoenicia Always Dances in it, who is the belly dance workshop teacher at Dragon Con. And she's usually under workshop. She's not on my track, but she comes and performs in the expo. And we also have a Persian dancer who's coming to a lady who teaches classical Persian dance. She's going to be teaching a workshop as well as the history of Persian dance and performing in the expo also, which is the expo is Saturday night. And we'll have a martial artist doing a demonstration at the expo, as well as we have Sabutai Masashi comes every year, and he does exhibitions on Saturday and Sunday, and then he has a Q&A afterwards, so you can go and talk to him and ask him about the Japanese martial arts style. We also, like I said, Kauai culture. And then we also, this year, we're trying something new with Lolita. We're doing feminism in Lolita fashion, because Lolita is so misunderstood as far as what it's about and why Japanese women like to dress like little dolls, basically, especially with the clothing from the Victorian era and what that whole culture is all about. So that's going to be an interesting panel. We're trying it this year, and I hope it goes well. And some new stuff that we have an acupuncturist, a licensed acupuncturist who's going to come and talk about acupuncture. And, that should be really exciting because I was always curious about that personally.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing to have there.
Yeah. So it's going to really cover a lot.
Yes. So it's not just Kung Fu and Wuxia movies.
Right. Although we are trying something else new. We're trying an interactive martial arts screening on Sunday night, where we're going to show 4 hours of films run back to back, and it's interactive. So we have a Godzilla theater, which has been very successful on Monday mornings. It's 11:30 Monday mornings, and it's been for the 4 years that I've been running the track. And basically, we show the old movies from Japan with the dubs, and people in the audience do this calling out, and we have trivia and prizes and, you know, sometimes puzzles and a lot of fun things going on. But it's basically, you get to geek out with all your friends and be loud in the theater when you're not supposed to be normally. So it's a lot of fun. So we're going to try that with the martial arts too on Sunday night and see how it goes.
Very cool. Have you noticed that your track attendance has been expanding over the years?
It has been. Several of our panels over the past couple of years have been over capacity, and we've managed to kind of, we usually have several origami panels over the weekend, and they always max out. So we have overflow rooms this year. And we had one panel that was particularly troubling. On last year, I decided to do the same exact panel twice, and it was an origami. It's adult origami. And the description is actually for mature audiences: learn to fold some naughty bits out of paper to impress your friends.
Okay.
And that panel broke room capacity twice. And the second panel, we used two other rooms, and one of those rooms we used twice to fill in everybody that would stay.
Oh, wow.
When
is this? I
got to
see this.
Adult origami, folding naughty bits. So this year we're going to do it in a ballroom. And so that will be fun. Friday night in a ballroom at 10 p.m., the International South, we're going to have lots of adults folding naughty bits out of paper.
Wow. That's it.
I know. Go figure.
I know where Mike and I will be. Okay, cool.
It should be fun. It should be fun. I love the interactive stuff that we do, like that and the dance show and, you know, the interactive screening of old film. So, you know, it's exciting. It's so
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely. It sounds like it's a great time. Over the years, have you had any particular panels or events that are outstanding for you?
Well, I always enjoy the shows, so I work hard at those. But I think things always seem to surprise me, like the interactive Godzilla theater style showing. The first time I did, I wasn't able to go. Something else was going on, and I didn't make it until towards the end. And then the next year when I went, it was just so much fun. It's at the end of the con. You can just sit back and relax and let it all hang loose and just have fun.
Nice.
So that one was really fun. That's why I'm hoping the martial arts panel in the same fashion will do as well. That it will be that much fun. A couple other things. There's some of the panelists are just awesome. Some of these people that come, you know, they have a passion for what they're talking about and they love sharing it. And that's always so much fun.
I would imagine that this is a pretty big venue for them as well.
For Dragon Con being a big venue, yes.
Yeah, for a lot of the guests. I mean, yeah. I don't know of how many, you know, sort of conventions or events or gatherings that there are for just, you know, covering, you know, the Asian cinema culture, you know, mecca, you know?
Right. Exactly, so, yeah.
I mean, there's things like G-Fest and everything like that, but that's just specialized, you know?
And Dragon Con is so big that if you can't find something to do,
yeah, you're
in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't look at the book.
Absolutely.
You need to open your app, people.
Well, speaking of which, where is your room located?
We're in the Hyatt in the Piedmont room, which is the on the International Tower side in the basement. You can get to it from either elevator, but it's the bottom floor.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. And obviously for a lot of events, come early so that you can make sure you get in and get a seat, right?
Yeah, we have probably a quarter of our rooms are in international ballrooms right now. The show
wow.
is, and, a couple of martial arts demonstrations are in there. The dance classes are in the international ballroom. And the adult origami is going to be in the international ballroom. So,
right.
Yeah. And then we have overflow rooms for ones that we're pretty sure are going to be maxed out.
That's amazing. It sounds like there's just a lot of fun to be had. Do you have particular guests yet or?
Well, Sabutai Musashi, who's the Japanese martial artist, is coming, and he's the one doing the two martial arts demonstrations.
Okay.
And then we have Phoenicia, like I said, is going to be in the show. I did lose out on a couple of guests who weren't coming, but that's our big name guests. A lot of the other people, like Leah Benson, who's doing the Persian in Central Asia, she runs a blog, and she does... she does studies in, she's doing a trance dance and altered states panel on, the neurophysical and psychological aspects of trance dance in Sufism, Gudra, and shamanism and Budan. And so she does, you know, she studies pretty intensely. I'm not sure she's working on what degree she's working on, but she's written papers on feminism and belly dance. And, you know, she's one of my friends that I draw upon her to add a little extra, you know, in-depth knowledge to the panels. And, so I'm excited to have her, but most of our panelists are volunteers. Even the acupuncturist was coming anyway, and they're like, "Hey, I can do this on acupuncture." And I was like, "That would be awesome."
Wow. Wow.
We would love to have you.
That's awesome. Do you know when that is already?
The acupuncture,
yeah.
I had it set for 11:30 on Saturday.
Okay.
So it'll be right after the parade.
Yeah, yeah. People might need it then.
Right. After walking through the parade, you need to learn about this Eastern medicine practice.
Exactly.
So they have, now they have, what do you call it? Acupressure, where you don't use needles, you use pressure.
Okay.
So we might be able to ask him a little bit about that too.
That it's fascinating stuff. I definitely, going to try to see if I can get down there as well. And I definitely encourage everybody to check it out. Use the app, use the actual program book, people still use that. Those are vital things to have, and check it out. Especially like Kira said, there's just no excuse for not having anything to do. So if something that some other big function is sold out, I bet you there's something really cool going on down to where you guys are.
Yeah.
So
interestingly.
Oh yeah, sure. And you know, like I said, get there early too, because it sounds like some of your events are pretty tight as well. So.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Anything else that you want to tell people about your track before?
not even specifically about my track. Please, please rate with the app if you can, or go online and rate the panels, because it really helps me to know what worked and what didn't work and what you'd like to see. And you can always contact me through the DragonCon website, or just email me silkroad@dragoncon.org, and I'll answer your question as quickly as I can. But, you know, if you have something to offer or want to add suggestions, I love getting feedback.
Very cool. And you also have a Facebook page as well, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And that's open discussion type thing. Yeah. It would be Dragon Con Silk Road.
Awesome.
On Facebook. It's a group.
And we'll definitely have that link, as well as any others related to your track, on our show notes and on our website. So
cool.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kira. It's been really fun learning about the Silk Road.
Yay. Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And now joining us, our third rookie to the Earth Station 1 Dragon Con special, another track director that I definitely wanted to have her included. This is Shannon Chestnut from the Apocalypse Rising track. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, how long have you been going to, or what's your association? What's your history with Dragon Con?
Oh, goodness. I first attended Dragon Con 15 years ago. So, this will be my 15th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And I actually just got my 10-year award for being a volunteer. So,
oh, wow.
I've been at it a while.
Very nice. Very nice.
I started going to Dragon Con like anybody else, like a fan. There was this little New Zealand apocalyptic TV show called The Tribe that was coming, and I just had to see it. So a bunch of friends and I went, and I fell in love with Dragon Con. It didn't take very long, and I've been going ever since.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a, and how did you get started or involved with the Apocalypse Rising track?
I actually got involved that first year. The Apocalypse Rising track has had a couple different variations. We've evolved over the years. We actually started out as the Tribe track, so a track just for that tiny little New Zealand show.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty impressive considering, like, maybe a couple dozen people watched it.
Right.
But after the show, you know, met its timely demise, and time went on, it kind of evolved into the Apocalypse Rising and included everything post-apocalyptic, apocalyptic survivalism. And I just volunteered and through the years, and eventually worked my way up to being the director when the previous director ended up going a different route.
Okay. And so what does now... Post-apocalyptic, so we got that. Obviously, that entails a lot.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people think, you know, probably almost instantly of zombies.
Yeah, they do.
So you've got that going for you.
We do. We definitely have that going for us.
So what else? What else is does your track cover? That's post-apocalyptic. There,
we cover everything we can think of from the fantasy aspect, like zombies and, you know, post-apocalyptic movies and TV shows, to more realistic things. Like, we have a first aid panel that covers, this year it's going to be about what you would need to have medically in what's called a bug out bag for the first 72 hours after a disaster. We have survivalist panels, like if the big one hits, or, you know, you are without power for however long, what you should eat or what you can eat. So yeah, we kind of run the gamut. We try to give a little something to everybody.
That's really cool. And I would imagine with one of the biggest movies this year, of course, was Mad Max, the return of that franchise. I'm guessing you've got some programming to cover that.
We definitely do. We've got one panel definitely, and we're looking to try and squeeze the second one in as well. Yes. But we're definitely going to cover the franchise, you know, from the original one up through the newest. It'll be a lot of fun. It's a good panel.
Yeah, it's, you know, not only was it, you know, I personally like the movie, so not only was it refreshing to have the movie come out and it'd be really great, but it's kind of great to have that punk post-apocalyptic stuff come back again, because it's been a long time for me that we've seen that kind of thing, so.
It has been, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to all the cosplay.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah. It's going to be, I'm sure that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome. So what else what's your like bigger panels? Obviously, do you have some nighttime events?
We do have some nighttime events. On Friday night, we have our zombie walk. So,
You guys are doing that. So you guys do that.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do it every year. I think
that's really awesome. And it's creepy too.
It's creepy and it's big and it's fun. And yeah, it's just, it's nuts. So that'll be Friday night starting at about 8:30.
And for those people who don't know, so this is, I mean, this is not like, yeah, this is like, it really feels like, especially if you're not familiar with it, it really feels like there's been a zombie outbreak in one of the hotels and everything is just chaos.
Yeah. It's like a zombie parade, but with like a massive entourage following it around.
Yes.
But it's a sight to behold.
Absolutely.
And it's actually going to end up, the end point is our prom. We have a zombie prom every year.
Okay.
So that'll be starting at 10 o'clock in the Sheraton, and we've got DJ Mike Cubs, who's also going to be doing the VIP event at the aquarium on Saturday. He's going to be DJing for us at the zombie prom. There'll be, you know, dancing and a costume contest to see who's the prom king and queen. We'll have photographers so you can take prom photos. Like, there'll be all kinds of stuff going on. And, of course, there'll be cash bars as well because, you know, that's a given.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so that's Friday.
Yep.
And yep, then do you have, like, any, you know, big events on Saturday as well?
We do. We have a bunch of stuff going on.
I know that a lot of the programming, of course, is subject to change right now because it's still – you know, being, you know, submitted and approved and everything. But yes. You must have events that you do like annually sort of thing, right?
Oh, most definitely. But like we say, nothing's final until 10 minutes after it's started.
That's right.
So keep that in mind. But on Saturday, we've got Rob Fitz coming, and he is a professional FX artist. And he's actually going to do a demo on zombie makeup.
Oh, cool.
So he'll actually pick somebody from the audience and bring them up and do makeup for an hour. And he'll talk about what he's doing. He'll answer questions. He'll show you how he's doing things to kind of help you with your zombie costuming. So it's for everything from beginners to somebody who does it and just wants to learn more about it.
With the zombies in particular, because Atlanta seems to be known as the zombie capital because of things like Walking Dead and all that, do you guys pull a lot of resources, local resources from that for your track?
We do. We try. We definitely try to. Most of my team is local to Atlanta, and they have a lot of connections. I myself am actually in California. So it makes things slightly challenging on that point, but we like to pull in as many locals as possible. And I mean, with the CDC in Atlanta and all the different, like you said, it's like zombie culture out there. It's really easy to find specialists and experts.
That must be challenging. I think out of most of the directors that we talked to, I think you're like the farthest one.
I am. They always check in on me every year. They're like, are you sure you're okay coming this far? Well, I'd be coming regardless, so I might as well be running the programming that I love.
There you go. And plus, I would imagine maybe even some distance away from Atlanta gives you a little bit more peace of mind than you're not as close to it, you know?
Yeah, I am not as close. And it also gives perspective in terms of, you know, I'm not in the South. So we have different things when we're looking at like natural disasters, like earthquakes are my natural disaster. It's not a hurricane or whatnot. So it adds a little different perspective to the programming that we do as well.
Gotcha. Now, from all your years at Dragon Con, are there any particular events that stand out for you as being particularly memorable?
Oh, my goodness. That is a very big question to ask.
Of course.
Oh, they all kind of blurred together. I can't think of one in particular, but I just love at the end of the night going into the Marriott, and now it's like the Pulse Lounge or whatnot, and sure. just standing around and meeting people, seeing the costumes, you know, bumping into this guest or that guest. And I love that it's just a casual, fun, energetic environment. It's one of my favorite things to do every year.
I would imagine that, and I'm not, you know, trying to make the big comparison, which is always made between Dragon Con and something like San Diego. But I would imagine since you're out there, you're probably, for you, is even more of not an issue, but just sort of like you can see the difference.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're night and day. I love Comic-Con. I go to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con every year. But it's very much a professional. It's an industry convention in Absolutely. A lot of ways. And Dragon Con is fan run. It's all done by, you know, fans and volunteers. And I think that's just what makes it extremely, extremely special and what gives such a great experience to all of the attendees. Because yeah. we're fans doing programming for people who are into the same stuff as us.
Absolutely. So where is the Apocalypse Rising track room?
We are in the Westin on Chastain 1 and 2. So basically you walk into the Westin and you just keep walking past the escalators and that's where we'll be.
Gotcha. Yes. I actually believe that last year I was actually on a panel. It was a zombie panel. So that was in that room. And you're right. It is, you just walk in and you just keep going until you're in the room.
Yep. Yeah, you can't miss us. Back into the door, that's us. Just open it and walk on in.
So that was very fun. And if people want to contact you before, reach out, find out a little bit more about the track and what's going on before Dragon Con, I know that you do have a Facebook page.
We do have a Facebook page. It's apoc_rising. We also have a website, which is not updated. That's what we're doing right now. Now that we've kind of tentatively finalized our schedule, we're going to be updating our website. But that's apocalypserising.dragoncon.org.
Gotcha.
We have a Twitter account, AR_track. I think that's what that is. But you can just search for Apocalypse Rising and we'll come up. So there's definitely tons of ways to reach us. And there's also our email listed on each of those. And if nothing else, feel free to shoot us a Facebook message or email. And we'll be happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Awesome. We'll have the links for your track on our show notes as well as on our website so that people can easily go check that out who are listening to the podcast. So. Fantastic. Anything else you want to reveal about your track this year?
We do. Well, as everybody knows, apocalyptic television is huge right now. It seems like any channel you turn on, there's some world that's ending on TV.
And that's just the news. No, just
I know, right? That's not even prime time yet. But this year we do have cast members coming from Defiance. Sci-fi's TV show. So
quite a few, in fact.
We do. We have four as of right now. There might be more added. There might not. I have no idea. But yeah, right now we've got four, including Stephanie Leonidis, who plays Arissa, one of the two main characters. So that's huge. And then And then we've also got cast members from The 100 coming, which I'm really, really excited about. It'll be their first time at Dragon Con, which is always awesome for both the guests and the attendees.
Yeah, they always walk around with their eyes are huge. They're like saucers, right?
They really are. They don't know what to make of it. They always end up having an excellent time, but it's a little like deer in headlights at first.
Yeah, because even if they've done other shows like San Diego or even, you know, some of the other conventions out there, Dragon Con is just its own beast.
It is. It is most definitely. But yeah, so we're excited to invite three of the cast members from The 100, and they'll be doing Q&As pretty much every day.
Awesome.
Yeah, and as far as that goes, I mean, we've just got everything, really. I just suggest looking at our schedule once we get it up on our website and seeing what speaks to you, what interests you. We have fan panels talking about the TV shows. We have, like I said, we have actual EMTs coming in, some local Atlanta EMTs that are going to teach like disaster first aid and basically chemically what you should have in your bug out bag. And then we've got fun stuff talking about zombies. Like if zombieism was real, what would the science behind it be like? What would it act like? What would it do? So we've got a little bit of everything. We've got a lot of ground to cover, but we think we have a really, really interesting schedule this year. I think there's going to be something for everybody.
And for those people who find either the attendance or just the whole weekend so overwhelming, they feel like the world's going to end, you're the perfect track. You're the perfect room for them.
We are. We can come in. We'll give you tips. We'll give you water. We always have snacks on hand. We understand.
Absolutely. Well, very cool. Well, definitely, if we don't get a chance to talk to you before then, have a great DragonCon. Hope to see you there as well. I hope I can make it over there and check it out as well. Again, people, you're found in the Westin, and you know we're going to post the links to your track on our show notes as well.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me come on. I love talking about this stuff, and I hope you know everybody finds it interesting and can find something they want to attend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a good one.
And last, but certainly not least, we do have another member of the track directors with us. Another one for the first time here on the Earth Station 1 special. It's Sue Phillips of the Science Fiction Literature track. Welcome to the station, Sue.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's my pleasure.
So tell me, how long have you been associated, or when was your first Dragon Con?
My first Dragon Con was probably before, well, that's hard to remember, actually.
It was
more than 20 years
ago.
It was more than 20 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah.
I've actually been working for 20 years.
Wow. Because, yeah, I've been going for about a little over 20 years myself to Dragon Con. So, yeah, we can remember when it was a small show, or smaller,
yeah.
Right?
Smaller, yes.
So, were you all, involved with the volunteer with the tracks already at that time, or were you just an attendee?
At that time, I was just a attendee.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, and I was going to say not. You know, when I say just an attendee, I'm not saying anything about attendees or anything.
I don't mean to denigrate just being an attendee.
No, not at all.
I've been a volunteer for so long. Sometimes hard to remember.
Sure. But obviously there was something about the experience where you said, hey, I want to become part of this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I remember I was a big Babylon 5 fan at the time.
Yep.
And I kind of fell into helping with the Babylon 5 track. So
very cool, because that was really a big deal back then. I can remember huge lines. For like more than almost anything else at Dragon Con, the Babylon 5 grouping was some of the most popular programming that they had.
Well, we thought so. Babylon 5 was probably my favorite show. Maybe I'm not going to say of all time, but it was intelligent science fiction with
absolutely
good performances, and yeah. I was really into it.
So when did you get involved, if you can remember, with the science fiction literature track?
That would have been when it started about, oh God, I'm a bad director. I don't even remember how long I've been director. Because they didn't have a literature track before me.
Wow. So this was your idea?
Well, no, it wasn't my idea, but when they decided they wanted one, they asked me to be the director, and so far it's just been me.
And that's another thing about Dragon Con that I've always appreciated too, because they do have the celebrities. You do get your people from the movies and TV, you know, in front of the cameras there at Dragon Con. Of course, they have a presence, but I've always liked the fact that at Dragon Con, you get really quality working professional science fiction writers there too.
Yeah, I of course love that. I was going to what they call literary conventions for many years before Dragon Con, you know, even first started. So I had met a number of the writers of the day, and I really enjoyed talking to them.
My very first Dragon Con in 94, the very first panel that I went on was Alan Dean Foster.
Oh, yeah.
So so I definitely, you know, can relate to the writers being there. And they always, like I said, have a really good caliber of writers there. So tell us a little bit about the science fiction literature track. What do you guys spotlight? Current work, past work, or everything?
We cover everything. I like to make it as all-reaching as possible. When we started, we did a science fiction and fantasy literature track, but about 3 years ago, they split us off. But I try to cover hard science, military science fiction, anything that doesn't fall directly into the realm of fantasy.
Okay. I see in the description it says debate the merits of hard science versus space opera. So you've got that sort of mm-hmm. fun debate going on in the room.
Right. We do that. We have a lot of debates about a lot of things. In fact, this year one of our first panels is called Definitions, in which we try to define science fiction, which can mean many things to many people.
Yeah, absolutely. that's going to take, what, a day?
It could if we let it, but no, unfortunately, that's just going to be one panel of an hour's length. On Friday.
Awesome. Now, in addition to sort of talking about, you know, current past work, do you also have panels on or for people who are interested in writing science fiction?
Well, I don't so much as the writer's track, which
absolutely.
Coincidentally
right.
happens to be right across the hall from my track room. So gotcha. You can just bounce back and forth.
And that is that in the Hyatt?
That's in the Hyatt in the International Tower on the Embassy Ballroom level.
Okay, cool.
I'm in Embassy A and B, and Nancy Knight, who runs the writer's track, is in Embassy D, E, and F. And then C is the fantasy track.
Gotcha.
We're all clustered right there.
Have you noticed over the years just an absolute increase in traffic to your panels?
Well, since I've been there, yes. When we started life, we were down in the motor lobby of the Hyatt in two small rooms, Cortland and Fairley.
Wow.
And there was a lot of traffic, but we were opposite from one of the other fairly high traffic tracks. And sometimes the halls got a little crowded, but we handled it. And we have a this room that we're in now is slightly larger, yay, and the flow is better, I think. So we do all right.
Well, good. What kind of panels do you have? Sort of some nighttime events that go on as well.
Our last panel is usually at 10 p.m., which gives those panelists a chance to, you know, talk as long as they want, really, because there's nothing else coming into the room after that. But I do that because I like to give my volunteers time to rest or or go
rest.
Party or
rest.
You know I'm weird that way, but or party or, you know, whatever they might want to do. And then come back fresh in the morning for another round of wrangling writers.
Wrangling writers.
Which is kind of like wrangling cats.
Absolutely.
Or it can be, anyway. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely know that it can be, sure. Do you already have a tentative schedule right now?
I do have a tentative schedule. I have not put it up, out for public consumption. because it is tentative.
Sure.
But we have a Yahoo group where I have posted it for those people who are members or who want to join. It's open to people who are interested in reading.
Okay.
And science fiction.
I see you also have a Facebook page and Twitter account, so you've got all the social media covered.
We do. We do. I don't think we have an Instagram account yet, but
yet.
I'll have to look into that.
Right. Well, it's writing, not pictures, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. Very good. I like that.
Over the years, are there any particular memories that you have that stand out that you've experienced at DragonCon?
In my track or
sure.
elsewhere?
Yeah. Either way.
Well, I was overjoyed when we got Larry Niven as
yes.
our literary guest of honor.
Yes.
I met Larry many years ago at one of these other literary conventions. And he was always a joy to talk to. And I had hoped to get Jerry Purnell at one time, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. We'll see.
Hmm. And do you already have a tentative guest list of who's going to be on your track this year?
I do. Our literary guest of honor this year is Peter F. Hamilton.
Right.
He's visiting us from over the pond, being British.
Right.
And I just discovered his writing actually this year, and I really like him. He writes sweeping, you know, epics. So I'm pleased at that. I always like adding a new writer. Of course, that makes my to-be-read pile even higher.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so you're not just a track director. You're actually a big fan of this as well and spend the off-season sort of reading up on everybody?
I try to, yeah. If we have a guest coming in, like Mr. Hamilton, that I've not been familiar with before, I try to read at least one or two of his works.
That's very cool.
Before I meet him.
So outside of the esteemed Larry Niven, is there anybody else that you've sort of geeked out that you've been able to meet at DragonCon?
Well, I don't know if I want to embarrass myself. I really, really don't like fangirling.
Right.
Overtly fangirling. But I kind of fangirled Scott Bakula.
Okay. Well, that's understandable.
Okay. Well, thank you. But I didn't want to. I really didn't want to. And then these words came out of my mouth.
You know
and
what?
He was very ahead. Nice, but
a very similar thing has happened to me. Not with Scott Bakula, but
okay. I'd be interested if it was. No.
I did actually meet Scott Bakula when he was at Dragon Con. So
oh, cool.
We talked about the dog character that was on Enterprise, Porthos, and how they went through a number of them, I guess, during the duration of the show. So not because of anything bad. It's just, you know, they swapped out the eagle every once in a while. But because you can have interesting talks about dogs at Dragon Con.
Yes, you can. I've heard that now.
So, is there for people who want to check out the science fiction literature track, you've got the guests there. You've got debates. I assume that it's hard science versus space opera is not the only sort of issue that you guys take on.
Oh no, we have much more lighthearted issues as well. One of our favorite popular offerings is Starship Smackdown.
Is that hosted by Van Allen Plexico?
It is.
We love Van Allen Plexico.
So do we. And I got to be a judge last year. My first time experiencing it, and it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So, that is. He has a blast doing that.
Yes, he does. He does. I'm very grateful that he gives his time to my track.
And he is quite the accomplished science fiction, more space opera writer as well. But,
he is. He is. More space opera.
I do absolutely love his books as well. So, well, very cool. Definitely you can find him there. So, any other guests that you're okay to reveal right now?
Well, I'm doing three showcases. This is where I have a single writer and someone either asking him questions or them talking for whatever they want to talk about. This year it's Eric Flint, Todd McCaffrey, and Chuck Gannon.
Wow, okay.
You may think Todd McCaffrey's an odd choice, but his own writing is science fiction, not fantasy, even
gotcha.
Though his mom's, of course. Well, Anne always insisted that her dragons were science fiction, not fantasy, so I guess.
You know what? When you did say Todd McCaffrey, I was like, wait, isn't that... So thanks for clarifying that up. I must admit, I haven't... So does he have a pretty good resume outside of the Pern books?
He does. I don't think he has a huge opus as of yet on his own.
Okay.
But he has completed some of his mother's works as
yes.
well as working on his own. So.
Yeah, and I've read enough of the Dragon books. There is a lot of science fiction, a lot of... it's kind mm-hmm. of a nice blending of both fantasy and science fiction. So.
I agree, yeah. I think that's one of the things that drew me to them when I first started reading them many, many moons ago.
Yes, absolutely. Well, very cool. So... People, if you are interested in finding out the latest and greatest of what's going on with science fiction literature, definitely check out the science fiction literature track at the basement of the – is it actually the bottom floor of the Hyatt?
No, we're not in the basement anymore.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You said that. You're not in the basement.
We're on the embassy level in the International Tower of the Hyatt.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll have to peep in and see you guys. I'm usually in the comic room in the Hyatt. So,
I hope you come by and see us.
Yeah. I definitely will try to do that, especially if I can bug Van a little bit.
Sure. We like bugging Van.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Sue. We will have the, like I said, the links to the Yahoo group as well as the Facebook, Twitter, and all that on our show notes so that people can check it out.
Very good.
Thanks so much
for joining
us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. And so we draw once again a close to another episode of the ESO Dragon Con 2015 special report. Big thanks to all of the track directors for their precious time during this intense countdown to the big event. That includes costume track Lee Cox, Silk Road track director Kira Lang, Apocalypse Rising track director Shannon Chestnut, and the science fiction literature track director Sue Phillips. Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it. And thank you guys, our would-be standby. No, that's the wrong word.
What are we, Mike?
What are we? Just tell us, Mike.
I'm actually waving... If you could see me, I'm waving my arms like Kermit.
You're just excited that Kermit's coming to Dragon Con.
I'm about to karate chop you like Miss Piggy. Keep going. Keep digging that grave, buddy boy.
I think I was looking for stalwart, not standby.
Stalwart?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Sure. What the hell?
What? Stalwart station crew. thanks once again for being on the station, Mary.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And thank you, Darren.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's going to cost you a muffin basket.
And thank you, Mike. Of course, none of this would be possible without
it's
you.
My pleasure, sir. And finally, by the way, I have to announce that we will be doing two live recordings of ESO-related material at Dragon Con. We will be doing, of course... Earth Station Who Live with the Brit Tracks Saturday at 2:30 p.m. in the Macon Room. Of course, times can be changed depending if they add new guests. So come check us out. We're going to be talking about Is the Doctor a Good Man? Basically, we're going to be talking about morality on Doctor Who. So it should be a lot of fun. And we'll be recording that as a live podcast for, future broadcast. Then, of course... we're just ready to announce this, 8:30 p.m. on Sunday night. We are going to be in the podcast tracking room in the Hilton. We are going to be doing ESO Live, and we are going to be looking at the state of geekdom in 2015. So it should be a lot of fun, two live podcasts, and you can actually get on the air live with us. So if you stop by to either one of us and stop by, say howdy, just not while we're talking during the recording. That's sometimes bad and such. And we might have other news about an unofficial meet and greet for ESO too.
So, absolutely.
So that might be happening on Thursday night over by the Hyatt bar because we want our buckets of rum.
Absolutely, we do.
Yes. So,
and when do we want them?
Now.
All right.
That can't come soon enough.
We try to cover all we can with these specials, but to keep up with the latest news, as I said, please check out the official DragonCon website, Facebook page, and almost all the tracks I know of have Facebook groups, Twitter accounts for the latest information. They're all accessible. We're going to have links to the people that we talk to on our show notes so that you can reach out to them to find out more information about their tracks. But all of the track directors have social media links and groups so that you can interact with them directly. So, and we encourage you to do so. ESO, can we encourage you to talk to us as well? We can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. Yeah, that's not a thing anymore, is it? No. So, you can contact us on Google+, but we'll be there maybe. I don't know. Stitcher, Instagram, we are everywhere on social media. We want you to be part of the station, so please feel free to reach out to us. Help support the ESO podcast by donating via PayPal, purchasing very cool ESO merchandise from our Zazzle store, or filling up your cart at our Amazon e-store. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and it has been my pleasure. We'll see you at the con.
wicked men's party. Who could ask for more? Everybody's coming, leave your body at the door. Leave your body and soul at the door. Party at Ground Zero, every move is starring you, and the world will turn to blowing pink vapors too.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.